about the building your business with the Get For Real. It's all yours, Sam.
Well, okay, thank you, and welcome everybody to the call this morning. Thanksgiving week. Great week, I'll tell you. A lot to be thankful for in our lives. You know, Mary Jo asked me to share with you what I shared in Atlantis, and when I got to Atlantis, I'd just come off of a pretty extensive travel schedule. I'd been to Japan, Korea, Singapore, Australia, and had just come from Australia to the Atlantis, and then the week after the Atlantis, I went to Europe. And essentially what I'm doing is sharing the vision for Manatech for the next decade. You know, for those of you that have been around a long time, I mean, we were just incredibly blessed with these technologies of Amritos, Phytomatrix, Real Food Technology Solutions, that play such a big role in people's lives in the world that we live in today. You know, we know that the direction that health is going in not only our country and the world is the wrong direction. It's because we put a lot of emphasis on the wrong things. We have a sick care system that basically consumes all of the financial resources that we have for health. And there's very little promotion of health within that system. It's all the management for health. But it's a $2.5 trillion industry, so there's not a lot of financial incentive to change things. But, you know, we do know that in the world today, 75% of everything we spend in sick care could be eliminated through better diet and exercise and lifestyle change. We now know new statistics out that 60% of all deaths in this country are diet-related. We know that 90% of what we spend on food in this country is spent on processed food. We know that our commercial farming has radically changed the quality of our food to the point that we've lost, you know, up to half of the nutrients in our fruits and vegetables. And that's just over the last couple of decades. You know, it's interesting. I saw a statistic the other day that said, 10 years ago, or about 12 years ago now, I think it was 1999, the United States, even though we spend more on health care than anybody in the world, rank 25th in the world in life expectancy. So there are 24 other countries, in spite of what we spend on, quote, health care, but just in the last decade, we've dropped to 50th. So in the United States, we now have the 50th. Longest life expectancy. And for the first time in over 100 years, our kids are expected to live a shorter lifespan than we are. So, you know, what we're up against is an information void out there in the marketplace for what needs to be done to protect our health and our quality of life. And the only thing that makes sense, obviously, is better nutrition. I think most people are aware of a lot of the facts that I shared today, maybe not all the specifics. What most people aren't aware of is that, you know, even though we know that there's a need for supplementation, there's only two sources of standardized nutrients available in the marketplace for supplementation. Those that are made in a chemical factory and those that come from food or plants. And we all know that the human body was designed, you know, to get its nutrition from food sources because food puts nutrients into a synergistic food matrix, which we call food, that actually feeds and nourishes the human body. So anything short of that is short of that. And as a result, in spite of a very large population base that now supplements, the majority of people supplement with synthetic nutrients. I think the reason is they don't understand. They don't know. I think if we get our story in front of these people, you know, we could make a big difference in the lives of people everywhere. So we believe that the solution to what challenges not only America but the world today in terms of health is best solved through Real Food Technology Solutions. And this is what I shared with the people in Atlantis. And, you know, the thing that is maybe one of the most unique aspects of the Manatech experience, the Manatech culture, our company of associates, is this passion for getting this word out, for bringing into the lives of people these technologies that so radically change their lives. Because there's a lot at stake today. It's not only the people that we know and we love and care about, but people all over the world. You know, from this passion, we founded Mana Relief in 1999 because a lot of us felt that there was the opportunity to go beyond our own businesses and our own communities and circle of friends to to help the neediest children in the world with this issue. You know, what we know through statistics put out by the World Health Organization and UNICEF and Doctors Without Borders is that one-third to one-half of all children that die in the world today die of malnutrition-related issues. Can't get a bigger problem than that in the world, I don't think. And, you know, what we're doing about it is not working. What we do in America is we send about $3 billion of these enriched grain-based cereals overseas to feed starving children. And what the New York Times exposed in an article not too long ago called The Hidden Hunger is that there's a difference between starvation and malnutrition. And there's a difference between feeding children and nourishing children. And what we tend to do is link everything to starvation so we can send anything with calories and expect it to have a major benefit. The problem is it doesn't address malnutrition, because malnutrition obviously is a deficiency of the essential nutrients that are required just to keep people healthy. And so we believe that Real Food Technology Solutions provides the most natural, you know, synergistic blend of real food nutrients to address those deficiencies in the lives of these kids. And so we're dedicated to making a difference in the world. Now, for the first 16 years of the company, we sort of separated all that. We had Manitech over here that was selling products to people who really needed it, Ambertose, as the best integrative health strategy for people whose health was compromised and wanted to add something to the equation that could support their body's normal recovery processes. And look at what we did with Ambertose in the first 15, 16 years. And the same thing with our optimal support packets, with antioxidants, with most recently Phytomatrix and the discovery of this new technique for growing, you know, nutrients in our foods called hydroponics. And all that brought about new patents, new patent applications, you know, new proprietary technologies for us to take to the world. But then we had Manna Relief sitting over here on the side that we all felt passionate about but wasn't really connected. And then in 2008, when the economy turned upside down, what we found is that it not only hurt our businesses and businesses all over America and actually all over the world, it devastated not-for-profits. Because not-for-profits can only exist when there is an abundance of wealth in the marketplace and people are willing to share it. And after 2008 and the financial devastation, you know, the loss of retirement funds and savings and jobs and foreclosures and all those things, well, the giving world was dramatically impacted by the economy, the new global economy. And a lot of experts are saying it's going to be a long time before we see anything like we've had in the past, if ever, because the world has changed forever. We're now globalizing. Jobs are going everywhere in the world. There was a great article in Time magazine not too long ago talking about, you know, the death of the American dream based off of what we knew in the past. Because most jobs have dispersed all over the world, and it's getting harder and harder to compete in a global economy. And as a result, the not-for-profit industry has taken a devastating hit. And we found the same thing in Manna Relief. We experienced about a 75% drop in our donation base. And, you know, that didn't feel like a company of destiny. It didn't feel like we were going to really aggressively meet the needs of the world's most needy children through the model that we had been operating under. And just praying about a direction for the future, I was led to a book called How to Change the World, and it's about a whole new business concept, strategy, if you will, called social entrepreneurism. And when I Googled it and read about it and then read the books that had been printed and then saw the articles and things like the Harvard Business Review, I immediately connected to the fact that these guys that are called social entrepreneurs are on to the solution for the 21st century. The big difference between cause-based marketing and social entrepreneurism, and let me explain it. Cause-based marketing, which we've known about for decades, is where responsible companies, you know, take a portion of their profits and redistribute it to worthy cause organizations. It doesn't matter if it's feeding starving kids or meeting the needs of homeless people or doing research on disease or whatever, cause marketing, basically a company picks a cause and makes a donation to it. Let me tell you what social entrepreneurism. Social entrepreneurism is about groups of people that look at the world's biggest problems and say, we can solve them. We can solve them because we can create the solutions, we can create the funding mechanisms, and we can go out there and do what no one else can do. In today's economy, governments will not solve the biggest problems in the world. They're too slow, they're too bureaucratic in many places, they're too corrupt. And their interest, special interest, is not to solve the problems of the world, but to protect their little paradigms. And so the books talk about the fact that, government can't make change. Industry can't make global change because it's too self-consumed with its own initiatives. Not that it can't make some donations, but it will not ever cause global change to occur. And in many cases, the profitability of a company is linked to an activity that is exactly opposite of what the world needs. Harvard Business School did a thing called Great to Good Manifesto. And what they said is in the 21st century, what good is it to be great at, for instance, making sugar water? If you're better at making sugar water than anybody in the world, it might be profitable, but is that a good thing for the world that we live in? Is that solving the challenge that we face, for instance, in the health of our children? And the answer is probably not. So global entrepreneurs, this new social entrepreneurial global business movement, is about companies that take on the world's biggest problems. Like, for instance, poverty is a major problem in the world, and a banker out of Bangladesh by the name of Mohammed Yunus started a social entrepreneurial movement to address poverty. Now, he was a banker. He believed that the solution to poverty was to invest in small businesses for people that didn't have any resources and put them to work, you know, let them fulfill their own destinies through their own sweat equity. The banking industry said, no way, these people don't have collateral, they don't have loan experience. You know, you just don't loan money to people like this. Well, Mohammed Yunus was convicted by his passion for making a difference, and he raised his own money, started his own bank, and created a concept called the microloan. Today, 15, 20 years later, the microloan is recognized as the number one strategy to fight global poverty. Over 500 million people have received microloans, been put to work in small home-based businesses around the world, and it has been a raving success. Now, ministries around the world are getting into the microloan business, and interestingly enough, it has a higher payback than any other loan business in the world. Isn't that interesting? The people that had no collateral, no credit history, and all they wanted was a chance to pay back their loans at a higher rate than anybody else, over 99%. So that's an example of a social entrepreneurial organization. He runs a for-profit bank. He makes loans just like other banks. He just makes them to different people. So here is a for-profit entity that is solving or helping to solve the problem of poverty in the world. Well, according to the book, How to Change the World, there's four criteria you have to meet to be a real world-changing organization. Number one, you have to identify a problem that is truly global in nature. And when I looked at Manatech next to these criteria, I immediately identified with the fact that that's the model that we have to pursue. Because the number one issue in the world is malnutrition. It doesn't get any worse than that. Poverty is bad. Education is bad. You know, clean water is an issue. Shelter is a problem. But listen, when half the kids in the world die of malnutrition, you got to put that at the very top. Everything's academic beyond death, right? So the number one problem that children face in the world is malnutrition. So we've got a problem that is global in nature. The other thing that we know is that this is not isolated to developing world countries, this undernourishment issue. A lack of proper nutrition is a global epidemic. It's what our kids are struggling with. It's why our kids aren't getting the proper nutrition. It's why our kids, for the first time, are expected to have a shorter lifespan than their parents. But in developing, you know, countries of the world, it is paramount that we solve that problem. The second criteria is you have to create an innovative new solution, because obviously what is working in the world, or what we're doing, is not working. In the area of malnutrition, providing grain-based cereals and in first world countries processed foods is not the solution to properly nourishing our children. We believe that Real Food Technology Solutions provides the best opportunity to supplement the diets of children all over the world. So we've created the solution, we patented this solution, we own this solution, and so criteria number two could not be any stronger than it is in our case. Criteria number three is, they said, to run a true global movement, you have to tap into the passion of the public, because it takes an army to change the world. You know, it's not the efforts of one or two people that make a difference. It's the efforts of millions of people playing their role to bring about global change. Well, in our case, tapping into the passion of what? Saving children's lives? Couldn't be a better thing, you know, to bring into the world today, because people do feel passionate about the plight of children. And then criteria number four, the final criteria, which I found fascinating, is they said if you can find a way to economically incentivize just the average people out there in the world to participate in your global movement, you can drive it to the ends of the earth. Well, there is no other business model that exists in the world that can economically incentivize every individual for exactly proportionally what they contribute than the network distribution model. And so we've got the right business model with the right technology addressing the right problem in the world. You know, that makes us truly one of the most unique world-changing movements in the world today. The only thing missing was our company's dedication to making that a priority with our company. In other words, are we really going to be the company that solves malnutrition in the world? We have the technology, we have the uniqueness, we have the global distribution system, we have the way to economically incentivize, but are we dedicated to that cause? And, you know, that was a board meeting, that was a senior staff meeting, that was getting all the decision makers in Manitech together and say, listen, it's not enough to run a good company. It's not enough to run a company that develops the best technologies. You know, in the world that we live in today, if we want to be relevant in the 21st century, we have got to become a social entrepreneur organization. And what that means is that we have to take on the funding mechanism to meet the needs of these children. Because the old paradigm of begging for donations through not-for-profits will not bring about true global change. So we decided that that is what we were, that is what we wanted to take on, and that was our destiny as a company. And so we created a program that is called Give for Real. And what Give for Real is Manitech's way of funding a donation base for the world's most health-challenged children, undernourished, malnourished kids. And we do that through what we call a donation through consumption model. And the way it works is every time somebody puts one of our core technology products on an auto order, we automatically connect it to a donation for a child in need. Now, we just launched this in North America, but let me just tell you something. In North America, the day that we turned it on, we immediately started receiving a donation that met the needs of over 30,000 kids in the world. 30,000. That's just in North America. When we turn it on in the rest of the world, it'll be closer to 100,000. And then all we got to do is start multiplying this effort around the world. Now, our goal is to link millions of consumers with millions of children in need. And some people would say that's a pretty audacious goal. That's pretty over the top. That's pretty optimistic. But there was another book that I found on social entrepreneurism called The Power of Unreasonable People. And I love that title because what it says is that, listen, only people that are thinking outside the box, only people that are really dedicated to creating the solutions, you know, will find the solution. Now, the world might call them unreasonable in their goals, but, you know, part of the criteria is take on the most audacious issues that face us as a society today. Create the solution, create the business model, and people will follow you from all over the world to participate. In the book, The Power of Unreasonable People, it says you got to focus on a scalable entrepreneurial solution. The most scalable entrepreneurial business model is the networking model. It says take on the world's biggest problems. That's what we've done. It said experiment with new business models. which means that the old paradigms of the way that we've always done business, we really need to think about those. We really need to think outside of the box on how are we going to proliferate the world with our message in new ways, because we have a new platform to speak from, and I believe that we're on to it. And finally, what I shared in at the Atlantis in the Bahamas is a recent article, September 2010, in the Harvard Business Review. It was the cover article, and it was entitled, "Can Entrepreneurs Save the World?" In other words, they're talking about this activity. And they feel so strongly about it at Harvard that, you know, the companies that really do this will be the most vibrant, meaningful, purposeful, and get this, profitable companies in the 21st century. And here's what they said, a quote, "If you're not thinking about this type of collaboration, you'll soon be guilty of strategy malpractice." Now, that comes from the number one business school in America, maybe in the world, saying that in the 21st century, if you want to be relevant, if you want, you know, to be profitable, if you want a true global entity, you better start thinking of this concept of social entrepreneurism. So we are absolutely in the right place at the right time to tap into this new emerging marketplace of social entrepreneurism. And when we talk about changing and thinking of new ways of doing our business model, I just want to encourage you guys on the call today that we're going to develop a new language, a new dialogue around what I've talked about today. It will change the way that we talk to people, prospect people, invite people to participate, because being a part of a global, world-changing movement is a different paradigm than just trying to sell someone a product that they could benefit from. And it is the new paradigm of fundraising. Instead of begging people for money, you have an exchange of value. You bring something into their lives that they desperately need, and as a result, help fund your global movement. What a great way of doing fundraising. Help us by helping yourself. Now, I will tell you that giving changes everything. It changes the way we think, the way we operate, the way we participate, the conversations that we have. And I tell the group in Atlantis, I'm absolutely convinced of this because of an experience that I had. I was invited to a fundraising program in Dallas, and it was raising funds for a new building and organization in Mexico headed by former President Vicente Fox. And, you know, he was up here just soliciting funds, just like not-for-profits do. And after the meeting, we all had a chance just to shake his hand and say hi. And, you know, he looked at me and he said, "Who are you and what do you do?" You know, and I introduced myself and I said, "Listen, I helped develop and found a social entrepreneurial organization that has developed the technology that serves the number one health risk of children in the world today. And we've created a business model to help self-fund the distribution of that technology to the world's most challenged, at-risk children." Now, just that one little couple of sentences, you know, completely changed the attitude of President Fox towards me standing in that line. He singled me out and he said, "So, helping the world's most at-risk children, how are you going to do that in Mexico?" And I said, "Well, we have a distribution program through our not-for-profit Mana Relief. We raised the funds through our for-profit Mana Tech. We developed the technology. And really what I'm looking for is a distribution partner in Mexico that can help me get to the world's, to at least to Mexico's most at-risk, underprivileged children." And he said, "Well, if you're looking for a partner, you found them. That's me and my wife. I mean, we have a not-for-profit organization called Vamos Mexico, and that's exactly what we do. We try to meet the needs of the most underprivileged kids in our country. And proper nutrition is a huge problem, and we don't have any money to address the problem. So if you're saying you can help, we want to help you." And he said, "How quick can you come to Mexico and meet with us?" And so my wife, Linda, and I flew down there and met with the Foxes and realized that we had the same goal in mind. They had the infrastructure on the ground in Mexico to touch the lives of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of kids. We had the technology and the funding source. What a great partnership. And so we sent enough product for 5 months for 6,000 children. And I'm going down there in about a week to do a press conference that announces the release of that product into Mexico, into the Vamos Mexico organization for the redistribution to the most needy children in Mexico. What a great way to open a country. You know, we go into Mexico in January as a for-profit entity called Manatech, but we lead into Mexico with our desire and our purpose of helping their children. And I'm telling you guys, it changes everything. I know that if I would have told President Fox, you know, I'm a company, a nutrition company that, you know, distributes its products through a business model of network marketing, he would have just shaken my hand and said, welcome to Mexico, you're number 500, you know, of the list of companies that have come in to do that, and good luck. That would have probably been the end of the conversation. But the fact that we are tied into this cause, to social entrepreneurism, to the dedication of meeting people's needs all over the world, changed our conversation, changed our dialogue. And that's what I want to encourage all of you on the phone today, to think about how that's going to change the way you do your business. I closed in Atlantis with a conversation about how giving changes everything and about how already several Manatech associates are starting to think about new ways of presenting our company and our program and our products. And I referenced a group of presidentials that I've been working with that understand the power of giving and understand the dynamic that that could bring into our business building activity. You know, what we as a company do, we develop the technology, we create the mechanism for distribution, we manage all of that, and what the field force does in Manatech is what's called customer acquisition, and that's critical to the fulfillment of this destiny that we call Manatech, because we need millions of consumers. So acquiring consumers is the number one call of the day. Now, what if you used a giving strategy to do that? And, you know, we're going to have a meeting on December 2nd at Manor Relief. It's at 7:30 at night. And we're going to start talking about a new way of talking to people about the power of giving and how giving changes everything, how it could lead every individual into a life of significance, however they define that. You know, for some people that is more income. For some people it's more family time. You know, for some people it's about being a part of a global world-changing movement. Whatever those components are that people yearn for in their lives that they equate to significance can be provided through a strategy of giving. And we're developing a whole mechanism for how to link giving to customer acquisition. And I'm telling you guys, you don't want to miss this. If you're in the Dallas area, come to it. Everybody else, listen, we will start broadcasting this concept and this philosophy. But it allows us to include everybody. A question that I ask in Atlantis in the Bahamas, and then I also ask our associates in the meetings that I was at all around the world, I said, you know, we have this incredible technology, we have this incredible mission, we have this incredible passion, and the thing that works against us more than anything else in fulfilling our destiny probably, in my opinion, is our method of distribution. We are in what is called the direct sale industry. And even though millions of people are in need of what we've got, the toughest thing to do is to have them overcome their fear and anxiety for what does not come natural. Now, statistics say that about 5 to 10% of people in the world are natural-born salespeople. And it's just in their DNA. It's the way they think. It's the way they operate. And they have absolutely no anxiety. It's a wonderful profession for those people. Everybody else in the world has to struggle to overcome their fear and anxiety of that model of doing business. And we find ourselves reading books, listening to tapes, going to seminars, you know, trying to get past ourselves and our own anxiety over what does not come natural. I asked the crowd, how many of you really like to sell? Only about 5% of the hands went up, which is about average. I said, what do you think the rest of the world feels out there? What if, I said, Then I ask, how many of you have ever given product away? And, of course, every hand goes up. And I say, how many of you have done it more than once? Every hand goes up. How many of you had to listen to a tape or read a book or go to a seminar to overcome your fear and anxiety of giving? And, of course, nobody raised their hand because that comes from a place that is natural. It comes from a place that is that passion and that desire to make a difference in everyone's life that you come in contact with. Now, it's not a good business model to give, at least in the past, because it didn't link to anything other than just giving. But it was a part of the culture of this company. It was a part of what made us so unique. But what if we could link that to our business building strategy, that giving became the way that we built our business? Well, that's what we've been working on, and that's what we've developed, and I couldn't be more excited about the prospect of using the concept of giving to introduce our products, our technology, our culture, our purpose, our mission, and our destiny into the lives of others. Because I think this program will lead millions of people to their own destinies, to their own life of significance. And that's what we're working on. That's what we're developing. We'll have it done. I mean, we've already got multiple components of it already done, but my goal is by January 1 to be able to hit the ground running on this whole new campaign. We'll have a website developed for it where people, and it's all free, people can just tap online. You can send people an email if you want to. You can buy a DVD if you want to that explains it, but you know what? To the extent that we can, we're going to make it available to everybody at no cost. And that's a group of associates. It's not Manatech that's doing that because customer acquisition is not Manatech's business. It's your business. So this needs to come from you. It needs to be supported by you. It needs to be developed by you because you are the ones that have to utilize this system, you know, to go out and talk to people and encourage them, you know, to become part of this mission. So anyway, that's what we're working on. That's what I shared down in the Bahamas. And I don't know if you have any time or how long this call is, but thanks for allowing me to share that, and I'll take questions or do whatever you want to do at this point.
Hey, Sam, it's Lydia Witt. We the call normally goes to 11, but so let's open it up for any questions they have.
Okay.
Anybody, if you have any questions, to unmute yourself, you hit star 7. Does anybody have any questions? Sam, is Manatech going to send out an email about the December 2nd meeting for the people local in the area?
I think what's going to happen is Greg Ross is going to do that.
Okay.
He's going to send it out to the list of people that come and support the meetings in Dallas.
Okay.
You know, at the office. And so everyone will know when, where, how to get there. But it's the first giving meeting that we've got scheduled.
Okay.
And actually, what this first meeting is, Lydia, it's just a description of the plan that we're working on.
Okay.
And we'll explain to everybody. We'll show people what our plans are, what our materials to support it are, how you get a hold of them, how you access it, how you talk to people, how you prospect with it. That's our goal with this first meeting. And then what we plan to do is have regular weekly giving meetings. And it may be at Manor Release every week.
Hey, Sam?
Yes.
Michael Vanderhoof. I wondered if I saw your video you did, the little 9-minute one on the Phytoburst concept. Is it similar to that? Are you expanding it further? Can you say more about that?
Yeah, Mike, that is the mechanics of how the program works.
Okay.
But what I see from a system standpoint, Mike, it's like, for instance, one of the things I'm working on right now is a little 2-minute prospecting video.
Okay.
And it just introduces the concept of giving and how that equates to a life of significance and how it can become part of a global movement and how the person that shared this message with you has a powerful message that can make a difference in your life. So it's just a teaser. So, you know, that's something you can email around to people. I think the presentation beyond that, and this is what we're going to talk about, Mike, is, you know, how do you introduce real food technology and the need for it in the world, in the lives of everyone in first world countries, and how it impacts kids in developing nations of the world, why our patented technology is the best to address those needs, what social entrepreneurism is, and why our business model, you know, links consumers, you know, with children in need, and that's how we plan on solving the problem. And then the last video you would show is that little 9-minute video. So what is this? So how do I do this? How do I participate? And then that one just introduces there's three ways of giving. Consume and give. Your door's open. Consume and give. Be a team giver or be a team builder. And then we explain those on that video. But you know, Mike, you sent me last week that video. Is it Kim Claver? Is that the lady?
Yeah.
And it talked about, you know, the masses of people out there that participate in network marketing and never aspire or necessarily achieve, you know, the highest level of status like presidential or platinum, but are a core part, you know, of your company.
Yeah.
And how to develop those kinds of people, how to nurture those kinds of people. And you know what I believe? I believe the missing link is providing them a system and a message that is more socially acceptable to who they are.
Yeah.
So that they're not always trying to move outside of the box, out of their comfort zone. Because here's what I found, Mike, and I know you have too. About the time you overcome your own fear and you've worked on yourself for a long time and you finally get the guts up to go do something like this, the first person you introduce it to it is sitting exactly where you were 6 months before. Now all of a sudden you're meeting rejection after rejection, and it's no longer are you willing to move outside your comfort zone is the problem is anybody else that you're talking to.
Right.
You know, so it put you into a very small category of people that you can actually talk to and have a meaningful conversation with. And what the goal of this program is, and you're right on it, Mike, with what you sent. The goal of this program is how do you introduce something that resonates in the hearts of people everywhere? I mean, the masses. You know, we can't fulfill the destiny of this company looking at 10% of the population base. We got to look at that 90% of people that want that. I mean, you know, the issue is we know that what we have to offer in terms of a product and an opportunity and a mission and a purpose meet the needs of the majority of people in the world. So why aren't people lined up to participate? Because it's not in the right format that makes them comfortable talking about it.
Your example with President Fox is a perfect one, too, Sam. You should probably use that in your intro piece.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the type of story that we want to incorporate, Mike, is how do you have a real meaningful conversation with anybody?
Right.
Your next-door neighbor, the guy you're sitting next to in line, you know, the person you sit next to at Starbucks, or the president of some country. I mean, how do you, in 2 minutes, engage them in a conversation that makes them want to know more about and be a part of what you're doing?
Yeah.
So you're exactly right, and I think what we've hit on, Mike, is the answer to that plaguing problem that exists out there. We know that we have tens of thousands of very passionate people in Manatech that have, you know, never achieved the fulfillment of what this business could bring them in their lives, and it's mainly because we've never addressed the issue of what the majority of the world is actually looking for and in what format. And so that's our goal, is to tap into that, and I think it will radically change the dynamics of our business.
I agree.
Sam, it's Ann Hilburn. Following along with that, when you met with Vicente Fox and his wife, and what you said to him about what you did, I helped develop, et cetera. What we say to people to engage them in that next couple of minutes is crucial. Could you give Lydia the wording that you use for that so that we could have that to read? Because it's hard to remember what you said.
Yeah, I can. And what I'm doing is I'm writing a couple of just introduction scripts.
Mm-hmm.
That I'll roll out on the 20th. You know, I think one of the best ways to introduce who we are to someone is the first ability to give is to sample. You know, you can take a photo burst and hand it to anybody and ask the question, have you ever heard of real food technology? The answer is always going to be no. You know, and then the rest of the little script is, well, let me introduce you to a technology that is radically changing the world. What's in this little chewable, this little superfood that you're about to eat, is the number one strategy for addressing the number one health risk of children in the world today. And what we're finding is that what helps those children best helps nourish you and your family. And we're part of a global movement that is making a difference, and I just want to introduce you to this and just have a couple of minute conversation. I mean, you know, just something as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I told Vicente Fox is, you know, listen, I'm associated with a company that has developed the number one strategy to address the number one health issue of kids in the world. And that's because that hit him where he lives.
Right.
You know, that's their heart. That's their desire. And I think that's the same thing it is with people everywhere. And so we'll develop these scripts, have them online in this. I'm creating a website called Giving Changes Everything. And all these scripts and all these little video vignettes will all be on there available for anybody. You can sit there with somebody and after you introduce them to a PhotoBurst, just say, watch this little minute and a half video with me. You know, just punch in on your iPhone or whatever into YouTube and watch this little minute and a half, you know, concept of giving, which is very professionally done, shows them that they're talking to someone who really is part of a movement that is going to make a difference in the world. So that's our goal, is to create all those little scripts for you guys. And you know what? You guys know all this in your heart. It's just, it is a new vocabulary. It's a new language of talking to people from. And so we're going to do this as quickly as we can so that people can get access to it. But my goal is at the first of the year, we're relaunching Manatech. We're relaunching it from a giving campaign that will radically change the world. And that doesn't mean that we're moving away from Ambertos or the because here's what happens. Once somebody comes to the decision that they'd like to participate, then you move them to a little decision tree. You know, what product would best serve your need? Do you need just basic nutritional support? We've got it with Real Food Technology, you know, solutions. Do you have a health challenge in your life right now? That's what we call our integrative real food technology solution approach. Or is weight your biggest issue? You know, in other words, it's just a little decision tree that you just ask them to punch in, and then that takes them to what their pack order needs to be and what their auto order needs to be. So that everybody, it's real simple, you know, and we're still... Everybody still there?
Yep.
So we're still talking to people about Ambertos. We're still meeting the needs of people. We're just positioning it so it's highly duplicatable.
Sam, this is Dorothy Ware. We support a Haiti orphanage and a church down there in Port-au-Prince, and we're interested in knowing how we could connect with Manna Relief, maybe to incorporate that in some of the things that we support from our church. Is there a way?
Well, here's what we're doing at Manna Relief. Our goal is to link ourselves with, I don't know how many it's going to take in the world, but, you know, at least initially, three or four major distribution partners, like Vamos Mexico, for all of Mexico, Central America. I'm meeting with a global ministry next week that distributes, you know, food, nutrients to kids all over the world. Because what we don't have at Manatech is a good infrastructure for redistribution. We're sort of just the middleman that can link real food technology donation to organizations that already have infrastructure. So to answer your question, what we're going to do at Manna Relief is create a department that just takes your information. Because what we can't do, we can't efficiently send product to an orphanage here and an orphanage there. We can't get it through customs. We can't, I mean, it's just, so we need to link up. If we really want to be a part of a world-changing organization, we have to have strategic partners that already have the infrastructure in place to deliver product. So, for instance, in your organization, we want to know what that orphanage is, because we are dealing with an organization that distributes into Haiti. But it would become part of a different organization's distribution model. So we'd support them, which enables them to support you. So what we'll do at Manna Relief after the first year is we'll start making a list of people's missions organizations and their orphanages that they support, and we'll try to plug them into some of these existing structures that we're working with. Does that make sense? Everybody still there?
We're still here.
Thank you.
Okay. I didn't know if I got disconnected.
You may have lost her.
Sam?
Yes.
Will that meeting that you're having at Manna Relief, that won't be televised like on webinar or anything, will it?
I don't think the first one will be, because it's really more of a strategy session, just an exposure session. I think what we are talking about, and this is what we want to talk about with the people that come, how could we best proliferate this information? Should we do a weekly meeting with a webinar around it? Should we do a Saturday morning training? You know, so, you know, we're going to explore that. And, you know, we've got some great leadership here in Dallas with organizations that reach all over the country. In fact, you're on a call of one of them right now, Mary Jo Hilliker. So, you know, between Kevin, Mary Jo, and Greg Ross and all the people that are here locally, it'll give us a chance to just sort of incubate this thing into existence. With a local group who can help us process through what are the things that we need to provide and what format do we need to provide them. I am dedicated to doing this program, and I'm dedicated to support and apply all the resources to get it done. And this is me personally outside of Manatech, again, because this is an associate-driven initiative.
And, Sam, maybe after this informational meeting and when you get things rolling, we could have you back on and we could do it as a webinar. We could share stuff, too, because we have the ability to have like 1,000 people on a webinar.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm open for suggestions. So whatever you guys – I mean, you know, once you see the materials and what we've got developed and where we are in our schedule, we can just sort of strategize that next move. I think it's going to radically change the way we do business all over the world. And you know, Michael, you were onto it with that video. That lady nailed the problem. I just don't think she created the right solution.
I agree with you. I just wanted to get you thinking that direction, because I think a lot of the pushback going on right now is the perception that, oh, we're just selling money these days, and that's really never been Manatech. So.
Well, and you know what? I talked to somebody who's a big industry trainer. And not just a couple weeks ago, and he said, you know, what's going on in the United States is probably the most radical shift that he's ever seen in this industry. He said, I'm not saying that there aren't some companies that are succeeding, particularly startups. He said, but the old business paradigm of network marketing is shutting down.
Yeah.
And he said, people are losing volumes left and right. And what used to work, you know, doing these professional meetings of overcoming your fears and where you're going to get the money and home-based business, he said, it's just been worn out. And it doesn't work for the majority of people, and they know it. And he said, so, you know, there's something has to happen. There's a shift going on. Of course, I'm thinking, I know what the answer is. I know what the shift needs to be. And it's because it's who we are as an organization, who we've ever been, always been. It's just that I never understood the model for it. Now I do. This is good stuff, Mike. This is like the relaunch of our company from square one.
I hear you.
Sam, this is Rebecca Lavrins, and I just wanted to let you know what I've been doing with that video on Manna Life. I've gotten, just in the last 2 days, I've shared it with two different presentations of about 3 people each, and they've been really interested. So I show them the little clip with the about the children, and then I go into the planning thing. But there does, like I say, need to be another piece where you explain more of the products in the company. So I really
exactly. I mean, imagine if somebody gets the message of real food technology solutions and what it could mean in their life. They really understand that it is truly, you know, the technology that can save the lives of millions of kids. And in order to participate and get their products free, all they have to do is give away 2 bags. Give away 2 bags to 2 people who would give away 2 bags. That's it. Now, that's the majority of people out there. And, Mike, that's addressing the masses, where they sit today. And, listen, here's what I think. I think, and then the rest of us become professional givers. What is a team builder? It's a professional giver. You learn the art of giving as a team builder. because you don't have to worry about lead generation again, ever again, because everybody that comes in under this model will come in with the expectation of doing something, which is one of the real keys to a success. Everybody buys a pack, gets a free bag with the expectation of doing what? Giving away at least two bags, if not four. So every team builder, every all-star learns the art of giving because that's how you'll perpetuate your organization globally. Help people give away their packs. It's as simple as that. It doesn't get any more complicated. You know, and it's, I think it will radically change the way we do business.
Sam, this is Sue Deming. I wanted to ask you to address on-stage marketing, which I'm questioning.
What is on-stage marketing?
It is, a guy that says he used to be with Manitech, and he sells a program for marketing, Terry Duff. D-U-F-F?
I don't know that person. Let me just say this. There's a lot of different ways of training people how to do business the old way. There's tons of them. And they're good. I mean, you know, they really have perfected their art of selling to a T. But what it all does is it's methods and techniques of having people, through self-development, overcome their fears and anxiety, learn the disciplines of running a selling business. But what they're leaving out of the equation is what do the masses out there want to do with their lives and what are they willing to receive. And I'm suggesting it's not the old model. So it doesn't matter how much you learn and how many disciplines you create. All that's good. But in order for us to meet the needs of millions of kids, we got to change our paradigm and our thinking. We got to become givers instead of sellers. And so, again, it's like every training program out there. If it teaches you good disciplines, there's value in it. Listen, we're going to need training programs about how to become professional givers. You know, there's disciplines that people have to follow in order to become successful. You got to hand out title bursts every day. You got to start the conversation. You got to, you know, send this little two-minute email to as many people. There's disciplines that will be required and follow-up and scripts to be learned, but it's around a whole new paradigm that I think will be more socially acceptable to the masses than anything we've ever done in this industry.
Hey, Sam, just on that note, I think you're right on it with the concept of giving these trainings away. Like, we just want to get a field out there ready to do this. Because what she's talking about, and, you know, I don't know Terry Duff particularly, but in general, most of the guys out there are very good at selling. They're very good at marketing. And what they're selling is their program. They're selling information. They're not selling how to actually build it because they still have never overcome only the 5% that can actually sell. So they're spinning in the old world is what they're doing. And
you're right, Michael. People are so desperate to succeed, they're willing to invest in any of these programs. I'm telling you that, and thanks for mentioning that, Mike, because listen, we want to do this for free. Now, we can't do a DVD for free because if you want to buy a DVD, but, you know, it'll be a minimal cost. But everything that's on DVD will be online for free. Everything. I mean, this giving changes everything will be a website that is free to everybody. You can link it to your MANA page if you know, when someone says, yes, I'd like to participate, I want to get that giver pack, or I want to get that team builder pack, then you just plug them in and put them in. But, yeah, listen, nobody needs to make money on the mechanism. We can all make a fortune off of giving our product to people who will give our product.
Right.
Well, listen, guys, it's past 11 o'clock. I thank you guys for being on the call today. Thanks for allowing me to share what I think is the most compelling thing that we have ever done in this company. So, and you guys have a great Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Bless you guys.
You too, Sam. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sam.
Thanks. See y'all.
See you. Bye.